The dark and ugly side of South African politics was on full display this week, in Parliament, in council chambers, in court. We'll hear all about it on the Sunday show with Neil De Beer. Morning, Neil.
Morning, Chris. But can I tell you, before the dark and gloom of the idiocracies of politics creeps in, may I again, officially, and I'm sure I speak for all, congratulate the Springbok rugby team. 4 in a row, the Freedom Cup back home. What a day, what a moment. Again, uniting so many people. So to them and to all the other teams, may I say, keep going, because we need a little bit of sunshine between all these dark clouds. So Oppie Bokke, and may it just get better.
Thank you, Neil. Meanwhile, calls are intensifying for Justice Minister Thembi Simelane to step down amid an investigation into a loan from a VBS-linked broker. What did you think of Glynis Breytenbach trying to hold her to account in Parliament this week? What did you think of the answer she gave Glynis?
I get so many emails now, and I want to thank everybody that's now writing to me and getting to me. And one of the things that people ask me is, where do I get my info from? I want to make it clear, Chris. We don't just sit the week and then on a Sunday read the report, Sunday Times and IOL and News 24. I actually speak to people inside. I have enough sources. So have you. So I just wanted to clarify our viewers. We actually put work into the show. We go and scratch where people don't. We go tap into resources other people don't have. And we actually get calls from people that want to add. So I want to tell you that when you sit here on a Sunday, you get some nuance. Yeah, that's repetitive. But here's the inside story. I don't ever want to be on the other side of a questioning session by Glynis Breytenbach. This is not an ordinary member of Parliament. We've got to understand that Glynis has been and was a top prosecutor, a top investigator before entering politics. So when this matter of Thembi Simelane broke, I knew that when that goes to Parliament and it goes to question time, she better be prepared. Now, can I quickly tell you, Glynis 1, Thembi 0. The absolute scenario where a Minister of Justice, and this is the crux, Chris, this is no ordinary minister. Not that the other ministries in this country don't count. But I want to put it out there because I saw it happen in many countries and in specifically Zimbabwe, where I was present, as you know, for a period of time. Zim collapsed not because of the taking of land, not because of the injustices. Zimbabwe fell when the judiciary started to become 100% captured by the state. This is a fact. And what we are seeing in this country is an absolute disregard, a disrespect of the Department of Justice and the judiciary. So I'm saying on the political side, I think we've got a lot to be worried about when the Minister of Justice is trying to explain that she never took money from VBS, but that she actually got a loan from the company that orchestrated the loan of more than 300 million of a municipality into VBS. And when she's asked, but you were the executive mayor, the buck stops with you, you're at the top of the pyramid, these were the questions from Glynis, that minister turned and then offered the following absolute trivial excuse and said, in hindsight, I now know that this was a problem. In hindsight. Well, in hindsight, pak jou tassies and trek vooruit. Because it's just getting into a deeper scenario where she does not understand that the buck did stop with her. And this is the Minister of Justice. So the question from Glynis was absolutely straightforward. And in my opinion, not one of them at this moment, Chris, answered so that we could have relief. Unfortunately, in her debate, more questions popped up than answers to the citizenry of this country.
In another fight for justice, the Democratic Alliance's urgent challenge to to the designation of former Judge John Chlope before the Judicial Service Commission is now being heard by the Western Cape High Court, Neil. Of course, well, he is an MK, showdown. MP.
Sure, there's another showdown. I mean, if you watched it like I do, you see that attempt of Dalium Poff, who might I say, and I will take him on them, does not always work on the basis of the judiciary, but actually is just a rude human being. The way that that man speaks in court, the way that he addresses his fellow colleagues, these learned friends, and the way that he treats that judge with contempt, in the sense of just being a person that gets up and spews rude areas. I mean, being rude is one thing. Formulating justice is another thing. This is not a very light matter. We have an impeached judge president of the Western Cape that was removed and found not fit to act as a judge, who now goes to a level of public process, becomes a parliamentarian for MK, and then they put him on the Judiciary Commission. I mean, Chris, that is wolf scapegoat. This is taking a wolf and actually telling it you've got to preside over the sheep. I mean, are we the only people that finds this crazy? So I do support the fact, no matter if it's the DA or anybody else, to try and say that we cannot have an impeached judge now preside over the selection of future judges. This just doesn't make sense. It isn't common sense. And I absolutely hope that the people that are sitting on the bench will look at this and say they agree. We cannot have this. It's another huge curse on the judiciary. And we have to keep the independence of the judiciary in this country. If that's the only thing that we must defend, it is the fact that we have a justice system that must and will be independent.
Still in Parliament this week, slightly comical though, was another tiff between former buddies, Economic Freedom Fighters Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema and the Patriotic Alliance Minister Gayton McKenzie. Did you listen to that, Neil?
Yeah, Gayton called the man a cockroach and then he called him a bandit. I mean, my goodness, that is in public order. I mean, one can only sit back and know that some of those 400 that went into Parliament are now joining a bigger circus. But if you look at the sense of debate, if you look at the seriousness and the crucial period that this country is in transition, that we need a total economic turnaround, that we are still suffering as business South Africa, that we are still complaining that we have not yet regained what we've lost. Surely there must be other matters that can take our esteemed honorable members and put them into a place where they are 100% there to govern this country on our behalf, the citizens. But to sit there and the EFF doing their usual disturbances, I must tell you, though, I am very happy for once that there is a person, no matter if you like him or not, like Gayton McKenzie, that will get up and say, no more. You are not going to get away with bullying us. You've been bullying these people for more than 10, 12 years. So I liked it. The usage, though, of those words, you know, the word cockroach might be something that you see within the drains of pipes within the institutions. But there's a sensitivity, though, I don't know if you know in politics, on the word cockroach, and that comes out of Rwanda. I think there was previously a discussion where people took it very, very sensitive by taking the word cockroach into politics. And I think, Chris, you know where I come from on that stuff. And then the fact that the EFF answered and said to Gayton, but he's a bandit, and then he got up and he said, but I am. I'm not denying it. I was. I was absolutely a bandit. So kudos to Gayton. Gayton is giving them a little bit of a nightmare, and I must tell you, I am not 100% against it.
I don't think Gayton minds in the least being called a bandit. I think he's quite proud of his history. Anyway, in Tswane, that coalition battle is still raging, and the ANC has submitted a third motion of no confidence in the Democratic Alliance Mayor, Silius Brink, who is fighting for his life. I think his fate will be decided on 26 September. In the council chamber, you have an insight there, Neil. What's happening?
Well, Chris, I think what is happening is, and I'm not going to say that we are Nostradamus, but I think you've had Herman Mashaba, funny enough, out of America, online. You've had Athol Trollope online. I see Alec had Celia Brink online. Michael Beaumont is on the sideline, still standing there. So the characters are now being played. You have, in my opinion, a Herman Mashaba that is now taking this, in my opinion, person. He is clear. This relationship is not going to be saved. You have Michael Beaumont, who is the chair of Action SA, trying to justify, like he should, the points of why the marriage will not work anymore. You have Celia Brink, and I must tell you again, Celia is right there in the middle and is cannon fodder. Because at this current moment, I mean, it's becoming absolutely sad now how this gentleman is begging for a solution. But I'll tell you something. The deal is done. It is categorically clear that the ANC has now done the deal with Action SA. No matter what Action SA is saying, they are, I think, just kicking for touch. They are playing until the new scenario comes of now the new attempt of a vote of no confidence against Celia. I know all of these players within the market. I understand what is on the one side and what is the other. Chris, what is going to be needed here? If we are really going to try and find a solution to not save Tshwane, but to remain steady, to continue what has happened, the turnaround of that municipality and metro, is clear mind. You know, I said to you off the record, or not on radio before we got here, I said, at a point, like Nelson Mandela and Evia de Klerk had to do, there was not always love in that relationship. There was not always the scenario of having full respect for each other. But there's one thing that I remember that caused us to at least be where we are today, and that is that not one of them walked away from the table. Now, in politics, you cannot afford to get personal. Because when you really stand back, Chris, this is about the people. You were elected by the people. We so quickly tell the people what to do and what they think and what they say when it suits us. So I think in this scenario, the DA is not going to walk out of here blameless. Action SA is not going to not have blood on their hands. The ANC faction, and that we'll get to now, also is playing a very good game. But at the end of the day, the people shall continue to suffer if personalities cannot be put aside and the will of the people is not put on the table first.
Well, the Democratic Alliance has lost another mayor here in the Western Cape, and Theovatus Kloof, where the DA's Lincoln de Bruin was ousted, and the Freedom Front Plus's Tini Zimmerman is now the mayor.
When we thought calmness would come, when we thought that Peter and John could sit across a braai and actually talk this out, in the meanwhile, it seems that the volcano was just covered with mud, but was absolutely thunderously heating up under the threshold of earth crust. Da blas a weer. So there they are. They did say that they were going to take everyone where they are co-governing, and they are going to take them one by one. And there it is. There goes Theovatus Kloof. So it seems, Chris, that in the Western Cape, Corne Mulder is not standing back and has decided to continue removing the DA out of power. Another problem that we can see build up to 2026. But a question, Chris, what the hell is going on in the spirit of the GNU? Because everything that is happening on the top shelf is absolutely collapsing on the bottom end. And this is the thing where I'm saying, what is going on with the future of the GNU, because it seems we're going for a full-blown war in 2026 between the parties.
Neil, how could this be linked to certain factions in the ANC positioning themselves as we are going forward to the municipal elections and later another national election?
Well, news from the underground is that the factionalism currently within the ANC, rumor has it, and Chris, on this show, in the couple of past months, we've been quite good at qualifying rumor. You can clearly see they are working towards the ANC elective conference that is in about two or whatever years from now. And the people are embedding themselves so that they can strike. Now, we know that Cyril cannot run again. Say, take this off. It's over. They will have to now go to conference with a new president. In the tradition of the ANC, as you know, normally the deputy or the vice president of the ANC becomes the president of the country. But we have seen more and more, as the democratic processes, so-called in the ANC, the democratic processes in the ANC, have matured. What a sentence. It is clear that there are now players rearing their head. You cannot deny that Lusufi is 100% making himself politically relevant. You can clearly see that Paul Mashatile is dreading either the knock of the hawks or the people just staying calm so that he can take that seat. And these are the two main players, Lusufi and Paul Mashatile, that is more and more coming up within the conclaves of the media. Now, I wonder, just a question, if the faction that Herman Mashaba is talking to is absolutely not the Lusufi faction, who's building his credibility on taking over every metro, Ekurhuleni, Tshwane, and Joburg in Gauteng, to take the Gauteng to say, but look what I've done. I have regained ANC power in the economic hub of this country, which they claim is Gauteng, and to take that then as part of his conference bid. Paul Mashatile is keeping very quiet. John Steynhuisen seems to have lost the dockets since the huge scenario of the expose of how criminal this vice president is. And currently, I'm telling you, the factionalism within the ANC is still continually to actually garnish the breakage of, remember, the third faction. And people are going to laugh, but it's true. There's an MK faction in the ANC. So you've got to look at this within the next 2 years as playing out to be again a rough ride for Citizen X, sitting back and seeing all these foxes amongst the hens and each one trying to get their side and their pecking order. It doesn't bode well. And the other thing is, we cannot write off that MK will contest on a very huge way the 2026 elections to take as many municipalities as what they can. So the rough ride is not over. We are seeing this as a scenario play in front of us. And every Sunday, Chris, we will expose and keep the people absolutely updated on the truth.
Neil, lastly, there's been another shootout between police and suspected extortionists, this time in Mthatha. Three killed, I think.
Yes,
police are taking extortionists down one after another.
Yeah, I think, Chris, I will say this on a continual basis, and I think people that write to me and walk to me in the street and in a mall, they always say, do we have heard about those? I'll heartful and murtu. And it's now become a cliche that will be probably on my headstone one day. Ma, we are heartful, and we've got to take on these extortionists and make them murtu. I mean, at the end of the day, I am sorry to tell you, I will say that every Sunday, when you decide that you are bigger than, that you are more important than the citizens' freedom of this country, do not then sit in a corner and cry when citizens rise. Now, the one person that got killed, and no one wants murder and assassination, but the old cliche, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So now what we've seen is a massive move of Minister Mchudu, who made two huge revelations Congress this week, one, for the first time, a minister of police acknowledged in public that crime intelligence of the South African police service indeed has collapsed. Now, I'm sorry, this is not a bad revelation, because the admittance of a weakness gives you the opportunity to build on strength of that weakness. And I'm finding this minister categorically clear on where he needs to go. And the second one is, he's sent in joint forces into what we didn't know, being one of the biggest extortionist entities, and that is in the Eastern Cape Umtata. So they went in there. They are taking back, apparently, the total centerfold of buildings that were just taken over by these scoundrels, and they are going to clear them block for block. And if we can do that in every province, in every side corner, then I think we've got a ray of light, a ray of justice. But I'll say this again in conclusion, Chris. We are getting the correctional services side ready. Peter Groenewald coming out there and saying that we've got 105 roughly 1,000 bed space, but we have 154,000 prisons. Now, there is a solution. Build more prisons, but build them in the Karoo, just outside Beaufort West, because it's quite cold in the night and hot in the day. But we cannot say that we cannot perform justice because we have a lack of bricks and mortar. Axel Boxdien's take. I think we need to get a go-to buddy thing. If they need more cement and more bricks, but too slate, it was a little too slate. And that's the great thing, is it seems that the only division in this sandwich spread is on the both sides, police and correctional services are getting their buns done. But we need a good patty in the middle, and that I will refer to as the Ministry of Justice. So we can arrest them, prosecute them, send them to jail, and let them Peter Louis job. That's my analysis, and I think we should keep them in the next few days, coming up to 100 days of governance. We should measure that, and I think then we will have a little bit more of confidence in the future.
Thank you. That was The Sunday Show with Neil De Beer, and I'm Christine. Thank you, Neil.